want to welcome everybody and greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and ask for your prayers for Jerry, and also I want to express my thankfulness. Yesterday when I realized that my brain was not putting one and one together to make two, Jerry was available to step in for me. So I'd ask that you'd say a prayer for him and give him your best of virtual smiles as we prepare to hear what the Lord's put on Jerry's heart today. With that, I give you my brother, Elder Jerry Case.
Well, thank you, Benny. I do want to say that I count it a privilege to be able to stand and deliver, more or less, get to witness today before you, and I believe partake of the spiritual blessing that comes when you serve. I don't really intend to bring you anything new today, but I would particularly like to ask for your individual attention. I'd like for you to really listen and consider what I'm going to talk to you about. If you will, think about those things, even daydream about them. Think about how to apply it to your life, how to be a better servant of God. If I would put some kind of title on what I bring today, I think the title would be A Simple Witness. I do want to echo, too, the request for prayers, that the Lord would bless me and that he would bless us as we worship together today. I'd like to start out... years ago, sitting in one of my favorite pews in the the very back at the temple lot. This was many years ago, the old building before it burned. There was a young lady at that time that stood, and she said that she had been taught when she was young that if you stand to give a testimony, that the Holy Spirit rests upon you and you receive a blessing each and every time. And I considered that. I had never given a testimony. I'd never really stood in church to bear witness. And it did a work on me. It was actually her thoughts that eventually helped me to get up. I think my original testimony sounded something like this. I don't know if anyone could even understand me. I was so emotional, and it was just hard for me to do. I wasn't one that stood well in front of others. But eventually I got to where I could speak and be understandable when I would stand. I'm going to talk about being a witness for Christ, and I'm going to talk about it in a larger sense even than just standing in church and giving your testimony. I'd like to start reading out of Matthew, the 5th chapter. And my first thought here is to start with the 13th verse. Of the 5th chapter of Matthew, it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I'm going to skip over a few verses now, I think, and in that same fifth chapter of Matthew, and start reading with the 38th verse and read on to the end of the chapter, verse 48.
Beginning with verse 38,
it says, Ye have heard that it hath been said. I'm sorry?
Jerry, where were you reading? I'm sorry.
I'm in the fifth chapter of Matthew. And the first verses I read was the 13th through the 16th. And now I'm about to read the 38th through the 48th.
Thanks.
So I'll start reading with verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with them twain. Give to him that asketh of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you, and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren all only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And I think I would actually jump back to the 45th verse just to emphasize some things. Although, you know, it's talking about loving your enemies, and actually fulfilling their requests of you. So it's talking about responding to them out of a heart of love for them. But it gives a reason. The 45th verse, it says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And I think sometimes, though it's the truth, you know, that we have to be careful about casting our pearls before swine, I think is the way one verse expresses it. I think sometimes we need to be careful that we use that not as an excuse. That we be willing to give. That we be willing to be part of this picture. If we are a city set on a hill, that light, it shines into all the world, the just and the unjust, the good and the evil. That we be willing to shine, that we be willing to witness before all people. I've considered many times. It's not a small thing when I preach. It's not a small thing when I stand to give a testimony. It's always been kind of a difficult thing for me, although I will confess that sometimes now I literally feel overjoyed and very compelled to get to my feet and witness. But it is through fear at all times. It's just I have a shyness that's hard for me to overcome. I've been, you know, I'm part of a company also. I work for a company that, like all companies right now in these hard financial times, has been going through lots and lots of changes. And one of the people that I've been working with for many years, a nurse down in Puerto Rico, one time I just stopped in the middle of our conversation because we had a lot of things to work on, is their site was literally downsizing. And as she and I talked many times, she expressed her knowledge that unless something happened to change it, that they were going to be closing and everyone was losing their jobs, including her. And I just stopped and I said, you know, Heidi, how are you doing? How is this going for you? You're a strength to everybody else, but how is this going for you? And she said to me, and this is, you know, this is a business setting. She said, the Bible teaches us that there are much harder times to come. If I cannot tolerate this with the help of God, then how will I face those harder times? And it was a great witness to me. She was willing to give that testimony that of the things that she knew and the faith that was within her. And it just took a few seconds, but obviously I remembered it. It made a great deal to me. And I think it strengthened her over and over as we've gone through these last few years. I think of Peter. I think sometimes when we think of Simon Peter and what he faced in those hours where Christ was taken into custody by the soldiers and brought to Pilate, where he was scourged and he was crucified, that when this woman said to Simon Peter, you know, hey, aren't you one of the disciples of Jesus, or, you know, one of the followers of Jesus? Didn't I see you with him? And Peter said, you know, that he did not know him. He denied him. I think probably all of us remember the story that, you know, Jesus told him that before the cock crew, before the cock crew, he would deny him three times. And he did. And I think sometimes in our arrogance, we think, oh, I would never have done that. But, you know, I consider my own self and wonder how many times under pressure I folded to whatever it might be, some kind of fear or embarrassment or whatever, and I didn't speak. I didn't tell my faith. I didn't witness to those who it might have had a long-term effect on. I think often recently of the fact that everyone in the world, everyone, through all time, no matter what their belief is, their faith, no matter what their behavior is, all will one day stand before the judgment bar. All. No one escapes this. And I think, and maybe even dread the thought that someone will come before the judgment bar of God never really heard, and part of that was actually my fault. That they come and they've never prepared to meet God. Why not? going to talk a bit about that. Why not? Why not witness? I had a friend, and he's passed on now. I met him soon after I moved to Ohio. I'm going to speak a little bit about why not in relation to him. He had severe cerebral palsy. He had all kinds of why not built into his life. Why not stand and witness? So to try to explain it a little bit, I'll talk about the way, what it took for him to witness. When he read his Bible, he literally picked up a spoon, a household spoon, in his mouth and his teeth, and he turned those frail, thin pages with that spoon, looking up the scriptures that he wanted to read. This is a gentleman that even wrote articles that ended up in the newspaper. And to explain that a little, he would sit before a keyboard and he would literally pick up a sock full of coins and lay it on the shift key and then pick up a spoon and tap on a key to get a capital letter. And then he would set the spoon down, pick up the sock off the shift key and set it to the side, pick up his spoon again and go on with the rest of the word. I'm just trying to explain what it took for him to do simple tasks. He didn't sit down at a keyboard and just type away. It was hard for him. I had another friend that came to me back when I used to work for the Sears Company back in Kansas City. She actually was the cleaning lady that would come up and clean the clinic where I worked. In our little occupational health clinic at the warehouse. And she would, one day after she'd gotten to know me a bit, and she was comfortable with me, I guess, she brought me a spiral bound, or like a coil spring bound, I don't know what you call that, just a spiral bound notebook that was kind of tattered. And she had written something up, and she wanted me to read it and help with it. And I said, well, what is this? Because I couldn't read it. And what I found out, she explained to me, was that in Kansas City, she was Rainbow the Clown when she was off duty. Every Sunday, she put on a skit for a child's ministry in one of the churches there. And from time to time, they would ask her to come to other churches also. But this was quite a struggle for her. She was very dyslexic. She had lots of problems, but she would try to write up her skit every week. And you know, I honestly couldn't read it. And so she had brought it to me to help her write it so that she could read it. And so I helped her, and we would kind of rewrite it so that it was readable for her. And she would go and give her skit. She was also known, I found out later, at Children's Mercy, because when a child was very ill and they're trying to help them, they would sometimes call her, because it seemed like no matter what time of the day or night, they would call. If they called her, she would suit up as Rainbow the Clown, and she would go to the hospital, and she would take care of what they wanted for this child. And she didn't charge. She just went and did it. I think sometimes we think of why. We might even do something that's set in a prayer and testimony service, and and feel shy. And so we don't ever get up and give our testimony. That's where the reason I'm trying to give examples of much harder things than just shyness, although I know how powerful shyness can be. Let me turn over. I think I'm going to go back and read some things. I want to turn over in Moroni 1. I'm going to start reading with the 119th verse here and just read down to the 122nd. This is on page 218. Might help you get there quicker. So, chapter 1 of Messiah, verse 119. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. And moreover, I say unto you, that the time shall come when the knowledge of a Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except it be little children, only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord God Omnipotent. I read that for a couple reasons. I think that it's natural for the natural man to find the same difficulty that Peter did. That under threat, it was like so hard for him to, in that moment of crisis, confess that he was a follower of God, that he knew Jesus. That's natural. And in this reading, it talks about putting off that natural man and being submissive to God, to being submissive to the enticement of the Holy Spirit, to be a witness, to, as we read in that verse earlier, that you may be the children of your Father in heaven, that you may have that savor or that characteristic of salt, that the earth might be salted, that you might be salt and light to the world. Put off the natural man and be submissive to the Holy Spirit. And the other piece is, sometimes I said in a prayer service, and one of the things I hear occasionally is why somebody might have been reluctant to stand. I heard recently somebody stand and give their testimony, but they said at first that they were afraid that their testimony just wasn't good enough after hearing others bear such great testimonies. And I want to tell you, there isn't a small testimony. when the Holy Spirit entices you to witness, just do it. And don't worry about competing with the testimonies that have gone before. Just do it. And I think sometimes we feel like we need some fantastic story to tell that will inspire people. And maybe you could even just express something like these few verses did. Maybe you could just get up and if you have no great thing that's happened to you that week, you narrowly avoided a car accident or whatever, don't worry about that. Just simply get up and talk about your knowledge. Can everyone hear me?
Hello.
Oh, thank you. I heard a click on the line, and sometimes we've had trouble with our phone cutting us off, so I wanted to be sure. You know, get up and talk about what it talks about in these verses, just that you know that you're supposed to put off the natural man and yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and so you wanted to get up and do that. That's one of the things that you struggle to do in your life, and so you ask for people's prayers. I think sometimes we get confused that we have to have exciting subject matter. But I think it's fair, it's right, it's at the core of what we believe to speak to the simplicity of the gospel, to just say, I struggle with these things too, please pray for me. I believe and I want to do right. I'm going to turn over now. Is everyone still with me?
Yep.
Okay. Got real quiet there. I'm going to turn over to Messiah, the second chapter. And read a couple verses here, verse 9 through 11. I say unto you that if ye have come to a knowledge of the goodness of God and his matchless power and his wisdom and his patience and his long-suffering towards the children of man, and also the atonement which hath been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord, and should be diligent in keeping his commandments, and continue in faith even unto the end of his life. I mean the life of the mortal body. I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which hath been prepared from the foundation of the world. For all mankind which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or which ever shall be, even to the end of the world, and this is the means whereby salvation cometh. I think sometimes that if you would bear witness in church, if you would bear witness to a friend, one of the things I think is kind of foundational, primary, core, in importance, is simply to talk about the atonement that Jesus made for us, and to tell people about it. Tell him of your thankfulness for this atonement that was made. Also, you know, it's often in understanding and perceiving these sacrifices that have been made for you that you gain strength. I remember one time I was asked to preach, and I was in college at the time and trying to pay for college, which, you know, seems to be something no college student can afford. I was working a couple jobs, and I was a night guard at a foundry, and I also worked at the hospital. And I think that particular weekend, the other guard, we covered the weekends in 12-hour shifts. The other guard was gone. Couldn't come in that weekend, and so I ended up working all the shifts through the weekend, and I had worked all Friday, you know, between going to school, and then I went and taught music lessons in the evening, and it ended up that out of the space of 3 days preceding this sermon, I had two occasions where I got to sleep. It totaled around 6 hours that I gotten to sleep, and I hadn't had any sleep in almost the last day and a half. I'd been up the whole time, and I remember that morning kind of stumbling around and realizing, you know, I felt like an idiot. I couldn't think straight. I was literally worried about driving my car, and I remember picking up the phone to call the pastor and say, "Help me, I can't do this." And it was at the last minute. It would have literally been calling him before the service to say I couldn't preach. But how unfair is that? But I went to the phone and I picked it up, and in my mind, I suddenly perceived something. These pictures came back into my mind. It was Lee Wheaton. Who some of you may remember. He was very crippled with arthritis. I remember him getting up to preach, and he literally, they had a chair turned around backwards, so he was kind of sitting on the back of that chair, the top of it, propped up against the podium, trying to brace himself with his arms. I remember seeing him one time when he only preached for about 15 minutes, but you know, he did it because there is something about the determination and the testimony in him. And I remember Kenneth Smith, who was very crippled with polio, doing the same thing. And I remembered my grandfather, Maynard Case, who travels all over the country, who traveled all over the country, you know, witnessing to people. And he walked on two canes. He was crippled. And I ended up just hanging up the phone and not completing the call. I think sometimes the witness that you give in your daily life, you may not actually even realize, and yet people see it, and it strengthens them in the time that they need it. I know I'm telling a lot of stories today, but I'm just trying to really get you to consider yourself and think of the opportunities that are before you personally, and how you might be salt and light, how you might trying to remember how it's worded, that you might behave in such a way that people see your behavior and that they glorify your Father which is in heaven. I think in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, let me turn there real quick. Some of these things I might just paraphrase since his time is getting short. But let me read, I'm just going to read 1 through 10 here out of that 3rd chapter of 1 Corinthians. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye are not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and ye not carnal and walk as men. Are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, But God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watered, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planted and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto you, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. I'm just going to paraphrase. There's another scripture in the 2 Corinthians, it's the 9th chapter, where it talks about that not only, you know, a sower who plants seeds and God gives the increase, that sometimes when he sows that seed, the seed he administers to another sower, and they take what they get from you and they literally sow it again to others, and it even multiplies the blessing to those that, you know, benefit from it, and results in many thanksgivings to God, is the way I believe it's worded. That's 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Some of the testimonies I've heard, you remember I talked earlier about this Rainbow the Clown. She came in one day, and she came in that time just to ask for prayer. She was part of a group of young adults that would go out on a street ministry. They would literally just go out on the street and talk to people. And one of her friends had gone to talk to a young lady that was in a bad part of town. And she was actually a prostitute. And he walked up and started trying to witness to her, and she acted very nervous and told him that she couldn't talk to him right now. And she kept looking very nervous, and he continued to talk to her. In the space of a few minutes, a large man approached him and told him to step away. He was her pimp, I guess you'd say, her owner, her John. I don't know. Anyway, he approached and asked this young man to leave, and the young man just began to talk to him instead of talking to her. Long story short, he just stabbed him repeatedly with a screwdriver. Put him in the hospital. In the end, he didn't end up dying. The prostitute ended up searching the hospital and found him in the hospital and showed up one day shortly before he left the hospital, so it took her several days. She was touched by what he had done, and he literally got on the phone to some friends, and they got together money, and they, from that hospital room, they sent her home. One of the friends came and actually put her on a bus, and they sent her back home. These things humble me when I hear about them. I compare sometimes my humble witness, and I realize that I didn't take that kind of risk. One day I was walking in San Francisco, and there was a street preacher. He was, you know, had one of those little plastic orange crates, and he was standing on the bottom of that with his Bible in his hand, and he was reading, and he was talking to people, and they were just, you know, busy going by, all the traffic noise and so forth. And I was with a big group from work. It touched me. And as I walked by, I just reached over and grabbed his arm. He stopped and he looked down at me and I said, "Thank you." He said, "You're welcome, brother." And he just went back to what he did and I went on. I just wanted to offer him an encouraging word. Nobody seemed to be paying any attention. I hope, too, that that was a witness to him, that it was an encouragement to him. One day, I heard another testimony about I remember who it was. It was one by a church, and this was a testimony down at the co-op years ago in a camp for all ages. A man at work was just ridiculing another person because he said something about believing in God. And actually, the member that was giving the testimony hadn't been involved in that conversation. He was just doing his work. The guy was continued to rail this other guy, and one of the things as he was railing him, he said, "You know, a belief in God is for those who believe in Santa." And at that, actually the person from church just kind of, for somehow the guy who was speaking, his eyes rested on him, and he just kind of smiled and he said, "Oh, ho, ho." Long story short, that guy that was being so mean and railing the other person, ridiculing him, literally stopped him after work and wanted to talk to him about his church. Said that he'd never been approached by somebody that was unashamed to speak about God and yet didn't really do it in the way that he felt pressured. And he ended up a friend. So you never know how a small thing can really touch people. And I think you gather right now that I'm talking a lot about bearing your testimony not only through what you say, but through your behavior. And not just in church, but in your daily life. How do you be this city that is set on a hill? How do you be salt and light? I think, you know, as I read that scripture in 1 Corinthians, it talks about those that they're only ready for milk and not strong meat. And do people give testimonies to them? Well, you know, I think of the athlete who gets a touchdown and he, before he walks out of the end zone, he takes a knee, or he points to heaven. How can you bear your testimony in a noticeable way? Maybe, you know, I think about it. How can you do it at school, at work? What can be acceptable? I was actually pleased during Sunday school. Jay Paul talked about that they had, on some occasions, they had donated books to the library to make important things, you know, available to people. And he said that he didn't know whether they actually put them on the shelf or not, but they did it. I think that's a testimony. That's a witness. Make your effort. So much of the time it seems like your efforts you never see any results from. But the truth is that it's God who gives the increase. My friend that I talked about that had cerebral palsy, one day he was talking to me and talking about this whole concept about how nothing we are and how great God is and how God gives the increase. He said, "Look at me. I'm nothing. I can't even take care of myself. I just make a mess when I try to eat. He says, I'm just nothing. But he said, think about that. He said, how much does a match cost? And I made a guess, and he said, no, not a box of matches. How much does one match cost? Anyway, one match is literally nothing. He said, that's right. He said, how big of a fire can come from it? I said, good point. You know, he said, if I could only be like a little match, worth nothing, but able to create a great big fire for the Lord. I hope that, you know, I know I've babbled around a lot and I've told a lot of different stories, but I'm trying to just help you think to what is the witness, what is the testimony you give. I'm not, you know, it's not everybody who gets a chance to speak like I do today, like in a sermon. I think for the most part, it's small ways, it's in simple ways that we give our testimony, that we give our witness. And it's in unplanned times, just a brief opportunity that we give our witness in. And so be ready to do that. Be a blessing. Bloom where you're planted. Be part of that city that is set on a hill, that people would see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Denny, I want to say, yesterday I was sitting on the couch watching TV when you asked me to preach, and I was just delighted. It excited me to have the opportunity again to be here with you and to preach. And I'm sorry that illness is the thing that gave me this opportunity, but I wanted to thank you for asking me to do this. It's been my pleasure. And actually, as I prepared for this sermon, I got very inspired. So I want to thank God for the blessing that He gave me for trying to witness to you today. And I pray that you would truly consider and just help pray that God would keep you ready in your heart, keep you ready in your mind for any small or great, any opportunity to give a simple witness of Him. And so God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jerry.